remain true to your brand, remain true to what you do the very best. As long as you have that nailed down, I think the transition of audience will follow very easily. But prepare your team and, you know, let them know that there are going to be mistakes made along the way, but we'll navigate through them.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. We've got another great show for you today. We've got a really unique episode for you today. It's a friend of mine. She is from Red Mountain Resort in St. George, Utah. Her name is Tracy Welsh. And Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thrilled to have you. And I think it's going to be a really good discussion. I think you are going through something, and we'll talk about this today, but you're going through something that I think is not unique just to you. I think it's something that so many destinations and attractions are struggling with right now, especially after COVID. And it's going to be fun to dive into those conversations and learn how you're navigating it. But before we do, we've got some important icebreaker questions we like to ask. And I know you've listened to a couple episodes of the show, so you know where I'm going with this. But our first question is, what is your dream destination? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Italy.
Italy. Tell me why Italy.
You know, I think it's just because I really love pizza and pasta. You know, I love to watch all of those food shows about Italy and the different regions and the different cuisine. I would like to see the Pope, and I'd like to see the Vatican. And those are things on my bucket list.
Okay, so when you eat good food, you want to go to the source.
Oh, absolutely.
I like it. That's impressive. And then you mentioned the Vatican. And what was the other thing you mentioned you wanted to go see?
I'd like to see the Pope. I'd like to see the Pope provide a Sunday service.
Yeah. How do you do that? Do you just, does he have a calendar link that you can just schedule a lunch appointment with the Pope, or how does that work?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm guessing that you really just kind of show up in the Vatican and there's a schedule as to when he is actually going to, you know, be offering Mass on Sunday. But, you know, it does sound like something we would definitely have to, you know, research and schedule to make sure we got there at the right time.
Yeah. Well, that would have to be a surreal experience to sit and experience the Pope giving Mass in Italy. I mean, you want to talk about an authentic experience. It doesn't get much more authentic than that.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, great. Well, that's a great answer. It's a popular answer on the show. I haven't had a lot of people say, well, I love pizza, so I want to go to Italy. So I love your angle on that. I think that's awesome. Tell me about maybe a trip that you've been on that really stands out for you, a favorite trip of yours.
Years ago, and this is many, many years ago, I went to Sanibel Island in Florida. And it was really, you know, not something that I had done a lot of research on. I just wanted to get, I was living in the Midwest at the time. So any time to get out of winter was really a treat. And the resort that I was working at, I had just finished a large renovation that was really stressful, and I just needed to get away. So I was very fortunate that my husband agreed to let me go a few days before he and my daughter joined me. And just those 2 days of solitude, walking up and down the beach, eating what I wanted, not having to answer to anyone or really speak to anyone, sleep as long as I wanted, it was really absolutely restorative. And, you know, the location couldn't be beat either. There was always a little something to do and a whole lot of nothing to do if that's what you chose to.
Oh, sounds like a dream. Now, where is that island?
So Sanibel is right outside of Fort Myers. And it's well known for all of the seashells that wash up on the beach. And there's actually something called the Sanibel Stoop, because people spend hours just kind of bent over picking up all of the treasures on the beach.
Oh, really? That sounds like a wonderful place to take a family.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just it was this little treasure hunt of, you know, these little miracles from the ocean.
So Tracy, I've got to imagine that having some time to yourself to walk alone on that beach with all those seashells walking up, or washing up. I know that you mentioned that it was kind of a rejuvenating experience for you. That just sounds amazing.
It was, you know, we have those times in our busy lives where it's really difficult to connect with, you know, your family. It's really difficult to connect with yourself. You know, all those big, who am I, what am I doing questions come up. And, you know, that's really one of the miracles of travel, I think, is that if you can find that place that you can kind of do that reset, it's a memory forever.
Well, absolutely. And you get to help and watch people go through that all the time. And this might be a good segue for us into the kind of the meat of our show today. Before we get into Red Mountain Resort, I'd love to hear a little bit about your background, your story, and how you ended up where you are today.
Sure. So I have a degree in journalism and communications, a little bit of PR mixed in with that degree, and had started in radio and in news. They decided that I could write and be a copywriter. And after about a year of writing 30-second commercials, I was done with that. Realized that that's long ago, that I was doing that on a typewriter and maybe not as fun as it could have been. My husband and I were newly married, and we had an opportunity to manage a bed and breakfast, which was an exchange for free rent. So we Nice. Took it. And so it was a little town, Galena, Illinois, which is a historical Grant and Lincoln slept here place that filled in with Chicagoans on the weekend. So we had 5 rooms in the bed and breakfast. It wasn't all that busy. And I decided to go get a job at the local resort, which was a 63-hole golf course on 7,500 acres. And that was about 37 years ago. Because I had a degree, they put me into a supervisory role. Several, you know, changes throughout there. I spent 16 years to get to an AGM role at a large Midwestern resort. Was tired of winter and started looking at, you know, other opportunities. Found Southern Utah and was recruited to come out to Red Mountain in 2001. I came out as the director of operations. I'm really an operations person at heart. And, you know, that time they were looking at building some villas and expanding the resorts. And the beauty of this area just, of course, is breathtaking, but, you know, really felt like a great place for us to raise our daughter and move. And so we took the big leap of faith and moved to Southern Utah in February of 2001.
That's great. And you said you hated winter. I can't think of a better place to never experience winter than Southern Utah.
Yeah, my hometown is in Iowa, and I, you know, go back about once a year, but never in the winter. It's, you know, we have the blessing of beautiful weather here. And even though it gets a little warm at times, you know, it's manageable. And I feel that I've really landed in a very lucky, wonderful place.
Yeah. You know, I lived there in St. George for 4 years, and it's exactly what you're describing. I mean, yes, it gets hot in the summertime, but the trade-off to never have to shovel your driveway, yes. or never have to, you know, worry about wearing several layers, or you just don't have to deal with that. And It's a great trade-off, and I really enjoyed my time living down there in Southern Utah.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's great for being outdoors. You know, it's a great, I think it's just a healthy community to live in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you started then at Red Mountain Resort in operations.
Yeah.
And I think your role has kind of modified over time. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing today.
It did. So I'm the general manager and have been for about 15 years. And with that, you know, that term, there are a lot of hats. There are a lot of hats. We're a small operation, but we do big things. We have 130 guest rooms, and we have inclusive programming for our guests. So we have a spa, we have a restaurant, we're a full service resort, and we have a wellness operation, as you know, with our programming. And outdoor recreation and such. So we're a lot of little businesses under one umbrella. So as a general manager, I still manage the operations. I oversee the marketing. I oversee the public relations. And, you know, just the other things that kind of land in your lap on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, you know, when the buck stops with you, at least part of the time, you're a firefighter, right?
Sometimes it
whatever
feels that
pops
way.
Up, you're the one that has to solve it because there's nobody above you that can figure it out.
Well, it's also, you know, the historian. You know, it's kind of like you complain about, you know, I always complain about my husband asking me where is. I'm the person that a lot of people ask, where is, how did we do this, what do you remember? So it's I've kind of grown into this wife role for the whole resort.
That's great. Well, so with Red Mountain Resort, it sounds like a unique place. You mentioned it's a full service resort. You've got the wellness side, you've got the spa. What else makes Red Mountain Resort different from other resorts that maybe, whether it's in Southern Utah or around the world?
Our location is stellar. The authenticity of our programming, and by that I mean this combination of outdoor recreation, being in nature, having wellness experiences, having spa and healthy cuisine layered on top of that, really makes it a place of transformation. And then I would add to that, that we just have this amazing team that makes up for all the rest. Our team cares about the guests who come here in a very deep and honorable way. And that's what has kept people coming back to the resort for years and years and years.
That's great. And you mentioned your location. I mean, I was in your office a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking, you walk out the door just outside your office, and it's this breathtaking view of Red Mountain that really you can't understand it unless you see it in person, right?
It is just really amazing, and it still takes my breath away after 20 years. You know, the colors change with the light each day. You know, there's always something new to see and absorb. And the building that you were in when you met me, we renovated a few years ago to really open up to the outside and the lava fields behind us. And for me to now be able to see guests walking in our labyrinth or walking on our inspiration trail and truly enjoying the resort and those moments is really, really rewarding.
Great. Well, as you know, most of our listeners are DMOs and CBBs, and they are, you know, they're working with their stakeholders. And so I always ask the question when I've got a resort on, I'd love to know how you work with the Greater Zion Convention and Visitors Bureau and what the value exchange looks like for both sides.
You know, I'm always very happy with the Greater Zion team. Kevin Lewis and his team, again, really add that extra layer of care about our area, about how they're marketing us, making sure that they're remaining true to what we are and what we can deliver. And really, you know, having this great blend of understanding the importance of tourism economically with balancing the life of the community and making sure that there's a happy medium for both entities. As far as Red Mountain with the Greater Zion, I think that they help us find our uniqueness and put that out into the media. We've worked with their public relations agency. We've worked with a couple of their media site visits, and always professional, always, again, respectful of not asking us to do and deliver more than what we honorably can do.
That's great. So it sounds like a really healthy engagement between the two organizations, and you're able to support each other on both sides.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, they live it, they breathe it, they enjoy it. Kevin is a mountain biker as well. They walk the talk and they understand how to promote it.
Great. Well, you know, one of the things that was interesting when you and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, you talked about your audience. And I want to start with what your audience has looked like historically, and then we'll talk about kind of where we're going with your audience and some of the challenges that come along with that. So tell me a little bit about your audience to date.
Sure. So in the past, Red Mountain was considered a destination spa. it was really kind of a place for predominantly female visitors that were coming for a health experience, sometimes focused on weight loss. This guest had to be a little on the outdoorsy side, not just spa, but they were looking for transformation. They were looking for empowerment. They were looking for girl time. And we were able to deliver that. The average age of the guest was, 45 to 50. They were college educated and, were really looking for that break for self-care. They were looking for help and guidance to do that. And that's really the genesis of the programming from the resort. What had originally been the National Institute of Fitness, which was a, very focused weight loss experience that utilized the amenity of outdoor recreation for physical activity, now had transformed into a destination spa. Again, a place of self-care, which wasn't even a term 20 years ago, but a place for people to go through life transition, to go through, personal transformation, whether that be weight loss or whether that be something that was more spiritual or powerful. Looking at post-COVID, wherever we're at in the COVID cycle, emerging from the COVID pandemic, we have seen a major shift in guests, and we anticipated that that would happen, but probably faster than what we thought might. Our guests coming to the Greater Zion area, and probably, as well as what they're marketing, is younger. They want to get out into nature. They want to work hard, play hard, and celebrate. They want to have their families with them. And they're looking for the support of a spa, but they're also very capable of navigating things on their own. And so that's kind of where we're at in, really transforming the guest experience.
Yeah, this seems like a really interesting place to be, because your business was built around a specific audience, and you've seen that audience be a successful audience for you over time. And now, coming out of COVID, you're seeing that the people that are booking change. And so you're in the unique position where you have to continue to take care of the audience that has gotten you to this point as a resort. But you're looking at these bookings and you're looking at the people that are arriving and experiencing some of the programming, and you're saying, okay, there's something happening here. There's adjustments we need to make, but we can't hurt the audience that's been coming, but we need to make sure — alienate's the word I was looking for. We can't alienate the audience that's been coming, but we also need to make sure that our programming matches the needs of this new audience that's clearly starting to show a significant interest in the resort. It's a transition period. How do you take care of both audiences?
I wish I could use the word elegantly. It is a balance, and it's a challenge, and some days are rockier than others. We've found ourselves, especially in, as we're coming kind of out of what would traditionally be our high season, that has been very challenging for us, because we had the guests who, had been coming to Red Mountain for many years, really had that pent-up demand and desire to come to the resort, because they had been waiting for, the relief of COVID to feel safe to travel again. And they came back, and we may not be everything that they wanted, because we've had to make transitions to accept this new guest and make sure that we're using our resources to the best that we can. So it definitely has... I don't know that we've got it all ironed out yet. I'm not unhappy with where we're at, but have we alienated them? No. Have we disappointed a few? Sure. But I think we kept the heart and soul of what made us unique with the outdoor recreation, with the spa, with the healthy cuisine, and they still found all of that. They may not have found the amount of choice that they once had. At one point, I think that we were trying to satisfy 100% of everyone's whims, and now we're still have a very solid foundation of the core elements of our resort programming.
Okay, so this is interesting, Tracy, and I want to dig into this a little bit, because it sounds to me like what the decision that you've made is, we're not going to take away the experiences that we've created for our historical or legacy audience. Instead, we've limited the breadth of options available to them so that we're able to create new options for this new audience. And so no, it's almost like during this transition period, we've got two audiences with somewhat limited breadth of options so that you can accommodate both, but you're basically tailoring a custom experience to both without having too many options available. Is that a fair assessment of what you're doing there?
You said that much better than I did, yes. And of course, that's going to be a ongoing challenge day to day to really hit the nail on the head with each guest, because they come with all of their own hopes and dreams and desires too. And it's not something that, you know, we necessarily know before they get here. We kept the best of the best. And, you know, we're being very cautious about adding things onto our programming plate unless we really feel that they're authentic and unless we feel that it's going to resonate with the majority of our guests. You know, we will still experience the disappointment of, we used to have something in our core program called endurance hiking, but it was a niche of a niche and not everybody could do it. And the true endurance hikers are empowered to do it on their own anyway. They're the trail runners that are out here. So yeah. We developed some great maps and some guidance and some, you know, here are some apps that you might take a look at. If you're a true trail runner, we don't need to guide you. You can do this on your own versus having to, you know, program to that and have the disappointment of only maybe one or two guests show up for the activity.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I've seen a couple of businesses and organizations that have gone through this similar type of audience shift. And sometimes you end up with like literal clashes between the two audiences, because I've been to retirement communities that were trying to shift from a retirement community to more of an inclusive, yeah, bring your grandkids, right? And mm-hmm. And what you end up with is some people that go to the pool and they don't want to have a bunch of kids splashing and playing in the pool. And then you've got families that want to be able to take their grandkids to the pool. And that difficult situation between the two audiences sometimes is difficult to navigate. Have you guys been able to kind of avoid those types of situations pretty well? Or are you still trying to figure out how to host both audiences and have it work with both of them?
Our biggest challenge is going to be the summer, because this is the first period that we're going to allow families from June through September this year. We're going to allow families at Red Mountain Resort, which has never happened in our entire history. We're excited about that opportunity because we have so much to share, and we really think that, you know, having families bond together in a wellness type of environment, to go out and hikes together, to go out and gaze at the stars, to do a family yoga class, is really just going to be so much fun and so memorable. But, you know, yes, we are going to probably have clashes with the guest who's saying, you know, there's an 8-year-old jumping in the pool. Yeah. So we've done our diligence in trying to alert people on our website to, you know, that there may be children here, that we've taken a couple of cancellations, you know, of people who, you know, just don't want to come to the resort if there are children here. But the family traveler travels in the summer, and that's a market that we think we can be very successful with. So that will be, you know, talk to me in September and ask me how that went.
I'd love to, actually. It's a fascinating case study for me. As I think about this, you know, you've made the product changes that you need to accommodate the new audience. You've worked on your programming. You took the right steps first. You got the product where it needs to be. How is your marketing going to change based on your new programming, your new audience? What's your plan to update your marketing accordingly?
You know, we're doing a lot of Facebook and Instagram marketing, and we'll be launching a great deal of that here in June, just right after Memorial Day. We were very committed through May. and, you know, really showing those family experiences. We've done a video of a family, you know, on property, enjoying a yoga class, walking through the inspiration trail, and just really to set that, this could be your family type of imagery. You know, we'll be doing a lot of Google display advertising, Gmail advertising, and, you know, the really digital banner advertisements through the Google display network to get that message out. We've also, we have a proprietary database of, that we've accumulated over the years, and we send about 4 newsletters out each month, and we'll be, you know, sharing the different family activities that are available, and, you know, we'll see how that goes.
That's great.
Yeah, we're doing some lookalike audiences too through Facebook. I think that's the appropriate term. And say, you know, the family traveler, the luxury, and the health and wellness traveler, and hoping to get some more eyeballs on the resort that have the intent of coming to Southern Utah.
So you're an operations person at heart. As the general manager, you're leading the charge on this. Tell me how you've organized this transition to happen. Is this something that was decided in a, you know, in a meeting last year that you've had several follow-ups? I guess what I'm trying to get at is your leadership style to help this transition take place.
So one of the things that happened to Red Mountain is we had a new management group be assigned to oversee us in December of 2019. So this group takes over right before the COVID pandemic hits and doesn't really know the market, doesn't know the resort, sees this great little asset, and now takes a look at the traveler coming into the Southern Utah market and says, well, why doesn't Red Mountain perform in a similar fashion? And, you know, occupancy wise. And I said, you know, to be perfectly honest, it's because family travelers come to Zion National Park. Family travelers come to Greater Zion. Family travelers come from Salt Lake City. And we've missed out on those markets for years and years and years. So it was a, you know, a lot of conversation back and forth with them and the leap of faith. Now, of course, the COVID pandemic hits and we wonder, what should we do next? And when we were closed for a 5-month period, and we started to explore that discussion of, you know, if we do allow a family traveler, how don't we, you know, alienate our current very loyal guests? How do we, you know, is this the right time to make the transition? What does that do to the brand? And what can we really offer? So once we took the leap of faith that we were going to do it, then I gathered my team. I have a director of spa and wellness, a director of outdoor recreation. I had our maintenance person, you know, as part of it, our housekeeping manager, our front office, my food and beverage team. And I said, all right, we've talked for years and years about, you know, having kids on property as an opportunity. This is the time now. What can we do with them? And they took it back to their teams and they came up with some just great, great offerings. And I think that they'll own it more because they came up with it. It wasn't imposed upon them.
I love it. I love it. You're getting smart people the information they need, and then you're letting them run with it.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited to see what the results will be. You know, we know that we've had some families pre-book, not a lot, but they're getting there. We know we have a few activities that have been booked, but most of all, I think that we've created this great space for years and years. We've created a level of service that our team is able to deliver, and we have this beautiful location right next to Tuacon. So I think the doors are open for the families, and it's going to be, it should work.
Yeah, you touched on one of the things that I think is, and it's weird to say this, but a real benefit from COVID, if you can actually have a benefit from COVID, and that's the forced innovation that came from COVID, that businesses all over the world were forced to innovate and pivot and change and prepare for the future. And it sounds like you and your team sat down and you said, okay, we've got to innovate too. Let's go. And it sounds like you did a great job of that.
We'll see. The results will tell us. But, you know, so far we're excited. we're looking forward to welcoming those first kids and just really see, you know, what the dynamic changes. But most of all, you know, like you said, it was so important for us to take this opportunity and to really kind of get, I hate to use the word pushed, but that's what it pushed us to take that leap of faith. And now we're there. And we wrung our hands over it for years and years.
Yeah, it's really great. You say you were pushed into it, but I actually think there's a lot of businesses that refuse to innovate and didn't take advantage of the opportunity to innovate that came from COVID. So kudos to you guys for doing that. I know you're waiting on kind of the results of this year to see how it goes, but do you foresee this transition being eventually complete from your old audience to the new audience? Or do you think you'll always cater to, you know, the original audience that got you there, which is mostly women around age 50 or so, looking for that type of experience? Or do you think you'll transition fully to the family audience?
I don't think that we'll transition in the first couple of years, but I think that, you know, if we would talk 5 years from now, I would see a transition. I think that we can still hold space for both, but I think that that will take some navigating. But we're, like I said, it'll take a few years. You know, we certainly have appreciated, relied, welcomed. You know, it's so wonderful. It's been so wonderful to see, you know, some of our very loyal guests return to the resort post-COVID. There's been a lot of fist bumps and hugs and, you know, things like that. There are people who have been very invested in this property and our team for years and years. At the same time, to get the affirmation from the guest who has never been to the property before and say, oh, this is great, I'm coming back, your team is wonderful, this, you know, this is beautiful, you know, it gives you that affirmation, it was the right thing to do.
That's great. What advice would you give resorts or destinations that are going through this same audience transition that you're in the process of right now?
Just remember, in the spirit of hospitality, we're here to welcome people. And, you know, I think it's all manageable. I think that, you know, remain true to your brand, remain true to what you do the very best. And as long as you have that nailed down, I think the transition of audience will follow very easily. But prepare your team and, you know, let them know that there are going to be mistakes made along the way, but we'll navigate through them.
Yeah, I actually think you said something really insightful there, and that's that figure out what makes you great first and then try to focus on the audience from there, as opposed to saying, okay, well, I want these people to come, so now we're going to try to reinvent the wheel on our end. No, figure out what you're great at first. What do you have the resources to do? And then look at the audience that best fits what you're able to do. It's kind of a chicken and the egg thing, and I think mm-hmm. you've got it in the right order.
I sure hope so.
Well, good. Anything I haven't asked you, Tracy, that you think would benefit our audience to hear?
No, like I said, check back. You know, let's see how we did it. But because it is an experiment. Here's a little story to end with.
Yeah.
For years and years, Red Mountain stayed very true to its nutritional paradigm: healthy food, clean meats, you know, low fat, et cetera, et cetera. And we started to see a few more men come to the resort, and we started to see a fitter clientele, and they weren't necessarily always happy with our cuisine, even though our cuisine, I think, is marvelous. So I said, you know, I think these folks just want a hamburger. And, you know, I think there are just some of these guests who don't want fancy food, but they've hiked hard, they've played hard, and, you know, just give them, let's put a burger on the menu. So we found a local butcher, Bartend Beef. They're ranching out on the Arizona Strip. We've got some marvelous product from them. We put a cheeseburger on the menu, and we sold, you know, that to 25% of the guests the first night.
Oh my
God. And it was something that we had hesitated to do for years and years and years because we didn't think that it was true to our health and wellness brand, that we had built a program and a belief based on a segment of guests who were here for weight loss, and we didn't want to offend them. Instead of taking a look at the guest that the other guest, who was actually the majority, and said, you know, let's focus on what the majority want. We can take care of this minority in a different way. And that cheeseburger has really been a pivotal moment in our thought processes throughout the resort.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to being willing to try something new. And you took a risk, you tried something new, and it obviously paid off. And now also there's not a lot of problems that can't be solved with a cheeseburger, but so you know, that's another episode for another day. Well, Tracy, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate the value you've provided us here and the advice you've given. It's a transition a lot of us are going through right now. If somebody wants to learn more about you or Red Mountain Resort, what's a great way for them to get a hold of you?
They, you know, can email me, twelsh@redmountain.com, redmtn.com. I'm on LinkedIn. They can message through Facebook. I do a lot of the social media, so I can see us that way too.
Great. Great. Well, thanks again for taking the time and sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you for having me. I do really appreciate it, and I've enjoyed it.
Me too. Me too. And thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to leave us a rating or a review. That really does help the show to grow. We just hit 40,000 listens, and we're looking to continue that as we go. We're shooting for 50,000 as our next major milestone, and your reviews actually do help us get there. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Tracy, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, I'm Will Sutton with Connect Travel, and we're excited to be partnering with the Destination Marketing Podcast to promote the eTourism Summit, which is coming in September 20th through the 22nd in Las Vegas. We're thrilled to be celebrating our 22nd year of eTourism Summit, which has really historically been the go-to event for digitally savvy tourism marketers. And this year, we're really excited because we're going to be co-locating with U.S. Travel Association and IPW, which is to bring a whole dimension of the tourism industry together in one place at one time as we work to recover from what has been a devastating year for the travel industry. This year, we'll be celebrating the 4th annual Etsy Awards, celebrating excellence in digital tourism marketing, and we're also launching a new program, Emerging Tourism Stars, which is really to highlight some of the amazing talent that has come up through the course of this last couple years in these emerging tourism stars, and partnering with MMGY Global on that exciting campaign. So check us out at eTourismSummit.com. It's going to be an amazing event, and we certainly hope that all the destination marketers that can will make an effort to be in Las Vegas in September as we really work to see tomorrow and move our industry forward in an amazingly challenging time.